Well, I trust you'll bear with me tonight. My voice followed Sam's voice wherever it went this morning. Mine has gone south. But I'm going to try this anyway, so bear with me. The first time I heard this song, it was being sung by Ethel Walters, a great jazz and blues singer of the 30s and 20s and 30s. And it's been a favorite of mine ever since. My father watches over me. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of His care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air. And surely He remembers me, my Heavenly Father watches over me. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep, but Shepherd guards His lonely sheep, and through the gloom He'll lead me home. My Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me. On mountain high or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, He guards my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me.
Amen. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Well, if you have your Bibles out, we're going to have Brother Stamper come and preach to us again.
Billy, that loves the Lord. And I want to ask you something. I know that we are not a Sunday school class. But would you play a song for me? I want you to sing it with me. It's just the chorus. God is so good. The only thing is, Mungu is God. So we're going to sing Mungu. And then in Swahili, repetition is good. You say, Tom, he is going to the store. That's the correct way to say it. You don't say, Tom is going to the store. You say, Tom, he is going to the store. So we say Mungu, and then we say you, which is you. Mwema is good. So all it is, Mungu you mwema, Mungu you mwema, Mungu you mwema, Kwangu, Kwangu is mine. Okay, something simple. But, you know, pretend like you're just a kid's class and help me sing it. You know, what I want us to do tonight, I'm being honest with you, I want us to do what we come here to do, and that's to praise God. And let's praise Him with our voice. God is so good. So we're going to sing it. Munga you mwema. Munga you mwema. Munga you mwema. Munga you mwema. You mwema kwangu. Munga you mwema. Munga you mwema. Munga you mwema. You mwema kwangu. Now we're going to do it one more time. And I'm going to listen to you guys. I'll help you get started. And then I'm going to stop and just listen to you and enjoy it and let you bless my heart tonight. Okay? Let's get started. Munga you mwema. You mwema kwangu. Man, I think you did it for me. I think you pretended like it was a children's Sunday school class. Hallelujah. Thank you, Miss Donna. You know, thankfully, not everybody got a bulletin this morning. Because when they heard I was preaching, they said, well, it wasn't in the bulletin. Someone else said, yeah, it was too. I must not have got the reader. I wouldn't have been here. So, hallelujah, some of you are here because you didn't get the bulletin. Praise the Lord. Munga you mwema. Kwangu. Tonight. Is this thing, that's as low as it goes, isn't it? That's okay. I know it'll go that much more. I want you to see my handsome face while I'm speaking to you. You know, when a preacher asks for praises, I was sitting there and I was saying, hallelujah. I got a praise, but I didn't say anything. You know, a lot of times I want to say things, but we serve such a marvelous, wonderful, amazing God. And I was sitting there thinking, Patty's back tonight. Man, that blessed my heart. Brother Brock was here. Bob Stamper was here with his handicap, you know. I pretend like I'm handicapped so I can get some sympathy, but it's not working too good. But, you know, I was sitting there praising God that he let Brother Sam's back and singing here, leading singing tonight. Hallelujah. You know, there's a bunch of us. We got problems, but hallelujah, God is so good. He blessed us and enabled us all to be here. And you know, I'm sure all of you, I've been praying, my wife and I, we've been praying for Patty. And it was a blessing to see her here tonight. And know what she's been going through. Tonight, I told you 3 weeks ago I was going to finish my message the next time I preached. And I'll add something else in case you don't read the bulletin. I'm speaking Wednesday night. So if you don't want to hear me preach Wednesday night, I'll tell you what my topic is. One word, topic for Wednesday night. You know what that topic is? Hallelujah. That's the title of my message. Just hallelujah. So if you don't want to come, you've got half my message, you've got the title. Praise the Lord. But the title of my message last time was God is too much. You know, He is too much. I can't get over Him. Open up to Psalms 113 and let's read that. Psalms 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth, and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth Himself? My goodness. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren women to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of the children. Praise ye the Lord. And you know something, folks, I want to tell you. We talk about why do we come to church, and I think I mentioned it last time. I come because I want to be blessed. But that's not my number one purpose for coming. I know it's going to happen because my number one purpose for coming is to praise God, to worship Him, and to give Him the praise He deserves. And when I'm doing that, I'm going to be blessed. You know, it's a done deal. You want to be blessed? Praise the Lord. Give Him the praise He deserves. Honor Him and worship Him and serve Him. And I mentioned that this was the first of, they called them, the Hallelujah Psalms. Because remember, we did it last time. Praise ye the Lord. And the people said, Hallelujah. O ye servants of the Lord, Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, Hallelujah. That's the way they read these psalms starting at this place. They read it that way. Praising God and worshiping Him and trying to give Him the honor that He deserved. But I also mentioned, as a review, and we're going to go through this pretty quick, but I mentioned, words are hollow. That's the right word. Empty. Hollow. Is that correct? Hollow. Like a hollow log. You know, we say, God is good. And I mentioned how we put a period at the end of it. We shouldn't put a period after something like that. Because there's too many of them. He's good. He's gracious. He loves us. He does everything for us. You know what? I don't have nothing that's mine. God loaned it to me. The money I spend, God loaned it to me. Everything I have. I have a nice house. No, God has a nice house that He loaned me. Everything I have belongs to Him. And you know what? If I don't give Him the praise and everything He deserves, He could take everything I have away from me. But you know what happened? I'm going to share something with you. We have a little bit invested. Because when I retired, I took my Social Security and I tried to invest a little bit of it. And that's what we used to buy the house with down here in Sebring. But I was talking to our agent this past week, and I asked him, I said, Frank, I said, did I lose much money with all this stock market doing? He said, Brother Stamper, he said, the count, we got you and you made money when that happened. So he said, we were not praying that it'll continue, but he said, when that goes down, you make more money. So I said, Hallelujah. You know, that's the way God takes care of me. Let me tell you what He did one other time. There was a time I got out of Bible school. Now, when we got out of Bible school, we had 3 savings bonds left. When I went to Vietnam, I bought savings bonds. And we used them all while I was in Bible school except 3. We still have those 3. You know what? They're over 50 years. No, they're about 50 years old. I don't even know. I guess they're still good if I cashed them in, but that's what I got left. But we went down to a church, and I've become a staff member in the church. And you know what? Right after I got there, I had to go to the hospital. I had some problems. But when I got out of the hospital, I didn't know this was going to happen. When I got out of the hospital, the insurance company at the church paid my hospital bill. And then the insurance company, because where it had been a Bible school, I hadn't canceled it, and they sent me the same amount of money as a check. And I asked them, I said, is this mine? They said, yeah. So hallelujah, you know, we had some new bills because we had just moved from Missouri to Texas. God gave it back to me. He let me go to the hospital, but He used that hospital stay to pay me back for it. God is good. All the time. I'll tell you something else He did for me. You know what? When I had gangrene, I was in ICU 13 days. Well, we were missionaries then, and we had a policy. Every day I'm in ICU, they pay me $1,000 cash. Hallelujah. You know, God gave me some extra money. You know, He's finding excuses to give me extra blessings from time to time. You know what? He never lets me down. Maybe I shouldn't have told you about that thing. Maybe you'll say, hey, you know, well, we did tithe off that $13,000 that we got from the insurance company and everything. But hallelujah. You know, He takes care of me. You know, I'm an old dumb hillbilly. But that's okay. He takes care of dumb old hillbillies. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay this over here. If I need, I'll pick it back up. And I read to you last time what Spurgeon said. With this psalm begins the Hallelujah of the Jews, which was sung at solemn feast. And now, I do want to apologize to you because I made a mistake last time. I made a mistake when I was telling you about Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. I made a mistake. I said when they got there, six of the tribes went up on top of Mount Gerizim and six up on Mount Ebal, and the valley was down there in the middle. And that's where the priests were, and they read the blessings and the cursings, etc. And I said the people up, the tribes of Israel said hallelujah when the blessing was read and when the cursing was read, and that was wrong. They said amen. So, forgive me for that. I did make a mistake on that one, but I wanted to correct myself when I went. You know, that's my problem sometimes. Now, I know the preacher never does anything like this, or these other guys don't. But, you know, sometimes when I'm getting my sermon, I think I know something well enough. I guess I had hallelujah on my mind, and I guess I think I know things well enough that I don't go and look it up and see what it was. But this time, as I was preparing for this one, I went back and I read a few things. So I did want to tell you, I did make a mistake on that. So I wanted to correct that in case you guys had went and said, oh, Brother Stanford made a mistake. Well, I'm admitting I made a mistake on that one. Okay. But I did say this, and this is correct. The Jews even now say when they drive down through that valley, it's almost like in their ears they can hear the amens ringing from Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And that was a blessing to me as I read about what the Jews think about that. But it says, God is too much because He is inexhaustible. Now, I mentioned also to you last week that I tried to find some, like, inexhaustible. You know, big words to me sometimes. I can get more out of a simple word than I can a big one. However, there's no simple words you can put in that because inexhaustible. It means unlimited. It means limitless. It means infinite. It means boundless. It means endless. It means never ending. It means everlasting. So God is all those things. So how can you substitute a word for inexhaustible? He is all those. So you have to use those big long words that sometimes give me an issue when I read them and go over them. And there's a couple others I'll mention to you. But I said He's inexhaustible in His power. Exodus 3:7. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power. And then verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that He worketh in us. His power is inexhaustible in His ability to control things. Nothing takes Him by surprise. He knows what's going to happen. He's inexhaustible in His ability to complete everything He starts. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. His power is inexhaustible to cleanse. He can cleanse every heart. There's no sin that He can't cleanse. There's no person that He can't convict of their sins. His power is inexhaustible. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. And it goes on down through there. Then I cut off at... wait a minute. His protection is inexhaustible. His ability to protect us. Now, if you will, open up to Psalms 91. I want us to read the first 10 verses of Psalms 91. His protection is inexhaustible. Okay? I'm going to start reading now, but if you can, open your Bibles up to Psalms 91, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 10. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now that fowler is someone that goes out and catches birds. And from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. You know, have you ever known a chicken? Isn't that what a chicken or a duck or those birds? They cover them with their feathers. And I went online and I was looking at some of the pictures. You know what they can do? They can put their feathers down in the pond, and their birds can get up on top of their feathers, and then they use more feathers to cover them up as they protect them. And that's what God does to us. He carries us. You know that thing about when there's one set of footprints through the desert, those are not when God went off and left me. That's when He was carrying me. He never went off and left me. He's always been there. He shall cover you with your feathers. With His wings shall thou trust. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not... Oh, I like this. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the sorrow for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He's my habitation. None of those things can reach me. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, because we are under His wing. We are in His dwelling place. He's overseeing us. He's by our side. He's holding my hand. He's whispering in my ear, "Hey, Bob, don't be afraid. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you." I remember that night in Kenya. The thieves came and they were in the office next door trying to beat a safe out of the walls. But since they couldn't beat it open, they were trying to beat it out of the wall and take it with them. And my wife and I, we stood there beside the door and we prayed. We said, "Lord, let them find what they want over there, because we don't want them to come over to our house." And, you know, that's the night I probably mentioned some of you. You know, where they were pounding that safe was probably as far as from here, almost to the flagpole out there, not hardly that far from where we were standing. And every time that sledgehammer, I'll speak to you the truth, every time that sledgehammer would hit the ground, I told my wife, I said, "Honey, whew, I can feel a ground shake every time that hammer hits the ground." But you know what? It wasn't the ground shaking. It was my nerves twitching on me. Every time that hammer would hit, my nerves would twitch. My nerves would twitch. And I thought it was a ground shaking, but it was just my nerves. But I really didn't need to be afraid, because God was taking care of me and watching over me. But it was a little bit fearful at night. Hallelujah. But He was with us. He got us. He kept us safe. He protects. You know, listen to this. He protects us during our sin with the way of escape before it becomes inescapable. While I'm sinning, He's watching over me. And He's given me a way to escape before it becomes inescapable. He's there, "Hey, Bob, come on, I got the way for you. Look over this way." You know, my problem is sometimes I got blinders on and I keep just looking straight ahead and I need to look off to the side where the Lord's trying to call me to. I know you guys never do that, though. I'm the only one that walks with blinders instead of looking where the Lord wants me to look. He protects us from Satan, okay? Job. Look at Job. "Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man. Satan answered the Lord, doth Job fear God for naught? And Satan said, you put a hedge around him. You're protecting him. You take those things away. God said to him, you can do anything except touch him. So Satan went to work. He killed Job's kids. He stole everything he had, all his oxen, all his animals, everything like that. He took that, but you know what he did? He gave it all back to him and more too. Am I still hooked up? Is it okay? Yeah. Oh, but. And the oxen, the asses, he took it all. But you know why God does that? God had to give him permission. He had to give Satan permission before he could do it. And you know why God does it? God's ability to overlook everything. I mentioned this in a sermon a month or so ago. God's got the ability to overlook everything and see. It was about a baseball player that stole a base when the coach had told him not to. And someone came up to me and they remembered something about that because they talked to me about it. You know, God sometimes will let some things come upon people like Job because there's someone else that needs a lesson or a blessing, or they need something that they can learn from what God's allowing. So God may let some of those things come upon us. He may let Satan test us and trial us, not beyond what we're capable of withstanding and withholding. But He does give you permission sometimes to do some things that the end result is going to bring honor and glory and praise to the God and to Jesus Christ. So when that happens to us, all we can say is, God, thank You for counting me faithful. Thank You for putting me through the test. And I'll tell you what, after those tests, let me say this to you. Do you like the valley or the mountaintop? I like the mountaintop. You know, my dad lived down in Virginia. And in the valleys, he had sunlight from about 10 o'clock until 4 in the afternoon. He got a TV. Even he got a satellite thing. And I went down there and I tried to get it where it could see the things. But there was, he was down slow in the valley. He couldn't get over the mountaintop to get a TV antenna to work. And the satellite didn't work very good either. But you know what? If we didn't have the valley, we couldn't have the mountaintop. So we have to say praise God for the valley so that when we get on a mountaintop, we can recognize where we are and give God the glory He deserves for it. We may walk through the valley, but that's okay. Walking through the valley makes us more appreciative of the mountaintop and the blessings and the glory that we receive when we get there. You know, when we climb Mount Kenya, I climbed Mount Kenya with my sons in 1982, I think it was. We come to this thing they call a scree, I believe is the correct name for it. You walk up three steps and slide back two. You walk up three and slide back two. You walk up three. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go. And my son, Doug, he said, Dad, he said, don't think I can make it. And I said, hey, Doug, look, you know how the mountain goes. I said, we can go there and we can see it. You can make it that far. Yeah, Dad, I can make it that far. Well, we got there and you still couldn't see it. I said, Dad, Doug, let's don't think about the top. There's another one. I bet we can see it from there. So we'd climb on up to that one. When we got there, we couldn't see it either. But you know, by setting our goal just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, we reached the top of that mountain. And let me tell you something, folks. When I reached the top of that mountain, I was wore out. In fact, the guides that carried our bags and everything for us, because I couldn't have carried them, the guides that carried the bags said, I think, because, you know, before I lost weight a couple of years ago, I weighed 270 pounds. The guys that carried our bags told me, they said, I believe you're the biggest person that's ever climbed to the top like this. When I got to the top, though, woo, boy, I walked around there and I walked around. I had a fresh breath of air. I wasn't tired or nothing. I was so elated that I had reached the peak of that mountain that all my tiredness went away. And you know what? I was the last one to the top. But hallelujah, I was the first one to the bottom. I was so happy and joyful at it. You know, the valley may come, and it may be tough climbing up that mountain, but when you get there, I remember what it's like to reach the peak of that mountain. Man, what a joy, what a thrill. God allows tests to come because someone needs to be taught a lesson, or they need a blessing, or they need something, or maybe it's for our sake too. Sometimes He lets us go through the valley because there's something we need from being in that valley. His promises are inexhaustible. Psalm 77, verse 8, His promises, in His mercy. No, is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promises fail forevermore? His promises are true. No man's ever found a promise from God that wasn't true. They're trustworthy. They're trustworthy because they are as eternal as God is. Now, let me say this, though. We sang a song that I don't agree with. We sang a song. I may have the tune wrong. Every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every something, every line. I forget the rest of it. But, you know, every promise in the Bible is not mine. Some are for the Jews only. They're not for me. But hallelujah, every promise is trustworthy. And those that's for me are good. They're there. And you know what? They're all there for when I need them. They can be stored up. I don't have to take them now. You know, that's the way with a child. He gets in there and there's five pieces of chocolate. He'll eat all five of them. He won't save one forever. I'm more like the kid than my wife. My wife sometimes, you know, she'll keep the chocolates. In fact, today we ate some chocolate. She ate hers faster than me. So I made her help with my last bite of chocolate. I ate half and I gave her, I'm not going to eat that. I've ate mine all, honey. How many times have you shared with me? I'm going to share this one with you. But you know, that's the way a kid is. He eats it all down. Sometimes, though, these promises, we don't have to eat them all down. They're there for when we need them, and we can save them up for when that time comes. His promises are treasures. They're tried and they're proven. Someone has said, now I don't know if this is true, I couldn't prove it one way or the other, but there's 3,000 promises in the Bible. And a lot of Bibles have about 3,000 pages, so that's almost a promise for every page. Hallelujah. But this next word I'm going to talk about is God's propitiation. Now that's another word. Okay, first, let's read Psalms 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And then 1 John 2:2. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know that word. I tried to find a word that... Because I'll be honest with you, folks. I couldn't have told you until I went and read a little bit more about it. My mind don't remember. I know I've looked that word up probably every time I read it. I have to go look it up again because I can't remember from one time to the next, you know, what it is. Here's what it says about propitiation. Propitiation. Soothing. Calming. Satisfying. Easing. Concession. Lessening. Reconciliation. Restoration. Settlement. All those words fit in for a propitiation. And God is our propitiation. He soothes us. He calms us. He satisfies us. He makes the adjustments and the concessions and restores us. He does all those things. His propitiation is inexhaustible. It's always there. We're never going to use it all up. I don't care how many times we go back. I don't care how many times He has to do those things for us. He's always there to do it again. The definition of propitiation is basically the reconciliation of God, of man to God. The reconciliation of man to God. That's really the bottom line of propitiation. Propitiation. How serious is it? Hebrews 7:25. Now I'm not going to give you time to look it up because time's about to run out. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. His propitiation, He ever lives to make intercession. An intercession that comes under the guide of propitiation. He makes intercession for us. He brings peace. Who can be reconciled to God? Anyone that asks. Everyone who asks can be reconciled to God. And you know, there's joy in propitiation. The joy is, you'll know this one, John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will. Maybe I will. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. Hallelujah. That's propitiation. I'm reconciled to God. And there's joy in it. In the fact that I'm reconciled to God. I can find joy. You know, I love to laugh. My son told me, David, he said, Dad, you have an ability. No matter what you have, you're satisfied with it. And you know, I think I am pretty much satisfied with whatever. Because God's in control. Everything I am, everything I have. the debt of it. There's a debt to propitiation. Now listen to me. Now if you jump off when I say that, you might get on the wrong track. There's a debt to it. Romans 1:14. I am debtor both to the Greek, to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach a gospel to you that are at Rome also. Because I have propitiation in my heart. I have ease, comfort, peace and all that. I owe a debt to God to tell others about that peace that they can have. They can be as happy as I am. Hallelujah! You know what? If I'd have got out of the hospital in time that Wednesday after the surgery on my arm, I'd have been here that Wednesday night. I don't come to church because I have to. I don't come to church because Betty makes me. I come to church because I want to come and praise God with my presence. You know, our God is too much because He's incomparable. We'll go quickly here. It's 7 o'clock. Give me a few more minutes. Okay, I want to finish this up. Now, I'll run fast. God is incomparable. Now, I looked that word up. Without equal, unparalleled, matchless, beyond comparison, second to none, in a class of its own, unequaled, unrivaled, top, best, outstanding, perfect, all of those. He's incomparable. He's incomparable. You know, when we went back in the last time to Moffitt with my daughter, and the doctor said, we might as well take the medicine away. Said, there's nothing else we can do. And Betty and I both cried. And even the doctor's assistant cried. And you know, as we talked, the doctor said, Mr. Stamper, I know if you could lay down there on that bed and take your daughter's place, you would do it. But you can't. There's nothing you can do. You know, that's true. There's nothing I can do. However, I want to share something else with you about that. Someone else stood and looked down at me and saw me lying in a place like that in my sin and on my way to hell. And that someone stood up and God said, I know if you could take their place, you would. And Jesus said, I can and I will. I'll take His place. And Jesus Christ died for my sins. And He reconciled me to God. And He's the one that gave me the peace and the joy and the comfort in my heart. And I'm going to say this to you. Some of you will laugh and go home and say, yeah, God made me the preacher that I am. And some of you say, I don't call what you do preaching. Well, some of you don't. But hallelujah, I believe that's what God calls it because that's what He called me to do. And I'm doing, well, the best way the old hillbilly can do. But you know something? He laid down and He took my place. As I stood there, I couldn't take my daughter's place. And it hurt. Jesus stood there and He said, I can take Bob Stamper's place. And if he heard a night without Jesus Christ, He said that about you too. I can take His place. God, who is rich in His mercy, for His love wherewith He loved us, Ephesians 2:4. No one can compare with His love. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 7:22. Wherefore Thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like Thee. You know, when I start to read this, I have to start it all over again because those words, they speak to my heart. Listen to them. Wherefore Thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like Thee, neither is there any God beside Thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. God, there's none like You. There's no one that could have said, I can take His place. I can die for His sins. I can give Him access to heaven. He is rich in His mercy. No one can compare with His labor. You know, everything about me. My speech, my eyes, the way they look. You know, even this old brain, the way it thinks. You know, it helps me to think things through. It's like I told you, and I told the truth. I repaired more things in Kenya by accident than I did on purpose. Because this old brain, God was in control of it. And He'd say, take a little spit and touch this place here. Huh? And I did it, and it worked. I did things like that. I didn't know what I was doing. But God knew what I was doing, and He knew I needed to get that thing fixed. No one is holy like He is. No one is honorable like He is. No one is holding me like He is. He is incomparable. He's indestructible. I looked that word up. Excuse me for giving these definitions, but He's everlasting. He's permanent. He's unchangeable. He's deathless. He's enduring. He's unbreakable. He's undestroyable. He's undying. You know, I said all that because of this. You know, when this John 20, verse 19, the first part of it, I won't give you time to read it. Listen to me. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. Christ had died. Satan had been talking to them. Satan had been telling them, hey, I captured Him. His presence is no longer here. I've captured the man that you worshipped and followed those years here. He's captured. He's gone. His power is gone. He's gone. His presence isn't here. His power is not here. He told them how defenseless Christ was at His death on that cross. And it looked like He was defenseless to the mind, but they didn't take His life. He gave it. He said He had erased all that Christ had accomplished. He had destroyed the peace that Christ gives. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Satan said, that's gone. I killed Him. He's gone. They had given Christ their lives, their love, their labors, but now Christ was dead. He told them He had caused all of Christ's power to be used up. And they were feeling sorry for themselves in that room. And they were fearful when someone walked in. Hallelujah. Jesus walked in and He said four words. He said, peace be unto you. That's all He said. And He proved that all the lies that Satan had been saying since Christ had been crucified, they were lies. Satan didn't know what he was talking about. Peace be unto you. They'd been fearful. Christ walks in and He says, peace be unto you. Don't worry anymore. It's over. It's done with. It's satisfied. I'm arisen from the dead. He proved His person was there. His performance was still there. His peace was beyond what we could ask or think, because God is too much. And then, it's almost 10 after, but forgive me and let me take just a couple minutes more. He is too much because He's indestructible, indefinable, beyond words, beyond description, unspeakable, He's nameless. He's indescribable. Listen to what David said in Psalms 40, verse 5. Many, O God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done. Many, O Lord my God, for the wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which was to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Isn't that something? Even as I said here today, you know, if I start talking about the blessings of God, whew, Where does it start and where does it end? Any of you could say the same thing. You know, gracious can describe a young lady, but it does describe our God. He is so far beyond that. We talk about a sports champion. We call him great. Even that doesn't show of what God is. Good. We eat a cake. You know those peanut butter pies? If you ever want to make an extra one, they are delicious. We can describe a cake and how good it tastes. Doesn't compare with God. He's incomparable. We can talk about a song being glorious, but it doesn't describe God's Word. Gentle, a mother's touch, but it doesn't describe what God does for us. He's so gentle with us. He is so gentle with us. Hallelujah. God is too much. But you know what? He's still reachable. Even though He's too much, even though He's everything. God is everything. Even if you put a period after that, God is everything. And yet, He's reachable. You know what? Our contact with Him is not like this phone that I carry. Sometimes it beeps at me at night and says, "Hey, you need to plug me in." My communication with God never has to be plugged in. It's always plugged in. The battery never runs low. I'm never out and on a road where God's antenna doesn't reach. Wherever I am, I can still communicate with Him. He's still there. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." He's too much. If you're not saved, there's a prayer that God wants to hear. "Save me for Jesus' sake." If you are saved, but you've not been living and giving God the praise He deserves, you can correct that this night also. I want you to think about it. God is too much. You know what? If you come Wednesday night, I told you, one word, title of my message is hallelujah. That's not a continuation of this, but it's partly because of this, because we have such an amazing, wonderful God that's too much. More than we could ever expect. More than any of us deserve. Let me say this. It's even more than a pastor deserves. He's more than any of us deserve. But He's there. Just a phone call away that the battery never runs down on. Thank You for giving me this time and thank You for letting me go a little bit past. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we close this message out, I do pray You'd help us to think about it. If we need to make an application to our lives, help us to do so. Father, thank You for giving me the opportunity to bring what You laid on my heart. Thank You for giving me the time. And Lord, thank You for the congregation You gave me. And Lord, thank You for loving me and caring for me and saving me and giving me a church family and the family You've given me. Lord, thank You for my president. Thank You for my country. God, we could just go on and on and on. There's no period. It's all just commas. So, Father, let me just pray. Thank You for etc. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as we consider what we've been challenged with tonight? If God's spoken to your heart, friend, talk to the Lord. Thank Him. Definitely a lot of things to thank the Lord for. As the piano plays, talk to the Lord. only trust Him now. Brother Gordon, would you please close us in a word of prayer tonight, after which you'll be dismissed.